Good morning. Today is Monday, April the 4th. Uh-oh, he's reaching for the quote book. The 95th day of the new year. Joining us this morning is Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Brian.
You found a quote yet?
No.
Well, you've
had I just opened the book.
Yeah, well, you know, you presume that this takes a lot of effort.
There you go.
Oh, great. As I'm cleaning my glasses, you hand me the thing with the 4 point.
Do you want me to read it for you?
Please.
Well, good morning, Eureka and Humboldt County.
All the ships in the okay.
States are as the men are. They grow out of human character. Plato. And I will sign that to make sure you don't ever read it again.
You kind of sound like the guy that's on the computer voice there.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm not a radio guy.
Oh, yes, my public speaking comes off the cuff. Oh, well, we got a bunch of things to talk about. I guess the first one, I think, we heard in the news story this morning about an event over the weekend, some guy on meth. You guys take him to the hospital, and he succumbs to his decisions.
Yes.
Now, there's an investigation on the entire process, on how you guys handle it. What is triggered in that kind of a scenario?
Well, the agreement between all the departments in the county is that when there's a in-custody death, in other words, that we've arrested somebody and they wind up dying for whatever reason, we do a very thorough and comprehensive investigation into that death to make sure that that our policies and procedures were followed and that the investigation, there's no wrongdoing on the part of government. It's part of being transparent. So
it's almost like a double check that everything was done properly.
Yeah. I mean, here's a guy that when the officers contacted him, he said that he ingested a great deal of meth. And they said, well, you know what, we're going to take you to the hospital then. And they got up to the hospital, they wheelchaired him in, and he was still alert and coherent when he went into the hospital and then coded while he was there. Bottom line is you can't do massive amounts of meth and not do damage to yourself. I mean, I know it's rocket science, but...
Again, I'm so bloody ignorant on this stuff. I feel just like I don't belong in Humboldt County.
Yeah.
And you know, people have reinforced that feeling to me too.
Obviously, not normal, well enough.
Yeah, normal. Boom. Is that how this stuff acts?
I wouldn't say normal. I mean, you're still experiencing the side effects of the drug. Now, methamphetamine is a central nervous system stimulant. So it elevates the heart rate, elevates the blood pressure, elevates the body temperature. And when it elevates too much, there's medical consequences to that. You know, organs start shutting down and the heart can stop. I mean, there's a lot of things. And that's why we take people to the hospital when they're at that level.
Just because you know something?
Does
it work?
Well, yeah, and that is because you're trying to do what's best for the person as well as society. I mean, we got called there for a reason, and he's acting bizarrely. And then, based on that, we take him to the hospital.
So that's just kind of almost a standard practice if somebody's...
Yeah, I don't want to say standard because you get a lot of bizarre behavior up here, but it's certainly...
Routine, perhaps.
Yeah, it's routine when we believe that there it could last, you know, go into a medical condition.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills. Andy, not to jinx today, but last month when you sent in sidekick number one, saw him that afternoon, too. He was standing around a hotel, and there was a bomb scare going on.
Yeah.
So hopefully your afternoon is going to be a little bit better than what Steve's was.
Yeah, I'd like to thank you for that bad karma, Brian. Yeah. It's a good thing I don't believe in karma.
We've had pipe bombs in the past.
Yeah.
They're typically associated with gang activity,
mm-hmm.
or at least they were 10, 15, 20 years ago. What's going on?
Well, we had a company bringing up labor workers, and they were recruiting them out of the Central Valley. And they were coming up and dealing a great amount of dope, as well as had a bunch of weapons. And so our guys started working on it, the problem, and started arresting people. And one of our new officers contacted a gang member in the parking lot at a hotel. And when he contacted him, the sergeant came to cover him. They started talking to the guy who was already on probation. They were able to search the room as part of the probation as they're going through. And they go, hey, you know, that looks like a pipe bomb. And then they moved it around a little bit and could see the igniter wick. And so they backed out, got the sheriff's bomb squad there. Yeah, good
call.
They're
trying to back out fast. Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah, you know, they cleared the rest of the building. And as a result, served two search warrants on that building. They probably could have served a lot more. But served two search warrants in that building, got three active pipe bombs and three handguns, two of which were stolen. And
so they're just going to have a little party there in the parking lot?
Yeah, it's just this is what gang members do. They bring their type of equipment with them. I mean, you bring a microphone, and they bring bombs. You know what that makes sense. So we arrested all those folks. Good charges, great case. The officers, that was a proactive stop, and that's why I'm working so hard to try to get space and time for our guys to be proactive, because this is what happens when cops can be proactive, not running call to call to call to call to call. And so we're trying to create that space, and when we are able to, they can really do an incredible amount of work. So, but we know what? We worked with the company, and give kudos to that company that sat down with us and implemented drug testing and criminal history checks and did a variety of other things to make sure that what they're bringing into our city, you know, for labor is successful. So
I had an interesting conversation last week with a buddy, and he said he does background checks. So initially he loses about half the applicants.
Yeah.
Then it becomes the pee in the cup test.
Yeah.
And he loses about another 40%. So now he's down to 10. Then he goes and has him go submit for a drug test. And he said, you wouldn't believe it. And of course, you know, duh, what do I know?
Right? Yeah.
Oh, they'll get high that morning. They'll get drunk that morning and go in and think that they're going to be able to pass the test.
Yeah.
Is it that tough?
Oh, yeah.
To find people that don't have drugs in their system when you guys are out there? I mean, I hate to think of it. About it, but every time I hear something, there's a druggie. I mean, it's now, for me, no drug is the exception, rather than drug to one sense or one extent or another being involved.
Drugs are a gigantic problem for our county. People being under the influence, people using it on a regular basis. People make bad decisions when they're on drugs. I mean, that's, or alcohol, same thing. You know, you get really drunk and get stupid. So, you know, it's tough. And I mean, even for the police, I mean, you know, we drug screen, we do psych backgrounds, we do polygraphs, we do all this kind of stuff. And, you know, it's still amazing to me that, and this is a true story, it wasn't here though. Background investigators were, you know, talking to the guy, and one of the questions is, when you're sitting down for the polygraph, you go through this multi-pages of questions, and you get their commitment before you do the polygraph, and then you do the polygraph afterwards. So, hey, look, we're going to polygraph on these questions, so you need to tell us the truth.
Okay.
When's the last time you smoked marijuana? 15 minutes ago. You know you're coming in for a police polygraph, you know, 15 minutes ago? He goes, well, I was trying to calm myself down for the polygraph. I said, well, it didn't work. You're out.
Yeah. Didn't happen here, huh?
Didn't happen.
I like that as a provisional before you share. Yeah.
But, you know, with guns, I'm now, every time we arrest somebody with a gun, I'm asking our officers to email me a picture of the gun, and I'm taping them to the wall of my office. And I've got, the first week, I had 9 guns that our officers took off criminals, many of them stolen or obliterated serial numbers. And the reason I'm doing that is to do two things. One, to continually remind me how dangerous this job is. These guys are working hard. They're doing a great job, but it is dangerous. This is a bad time in our nation. And it's not because the good guys are carrying guns, the average citizen. It's because these the drug dealers and the gang members and the criminals are carrying guns. This is who we get the guns off. We never get guns off of Joe Blow citizen. And then the second reason is it continually reminds me that good policy means you create law to help people think through what they're doing in their lives. So as a person who's an operator, if you're in Afghanistan, you never lay your gun down for somebody else to have access to it. You keep it with you, or you lock it up, one of the two. You just don't leave them lying around. Last week, we lost more guns out of burglaries. And it ceases to amaze me that why would somebody leave a gun in their house unattended for somebody else to have?
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills. Talk Shop presented by Redek and by CDH Painting. Andy, this concept with the drugs and the weaponry associated with it. Now, I heard a couple of stories that are still kind of unsettling to me, but that there's an awful lot of land purchasing going on in southern part of Humboldt County by international drug folks. Really... Stupid money. Tens of millions of dollars per transaction. Mm. Stupid money. What are they seeing that we're not? Or are they seeing what we're seeing and saying, game on?
Game on. Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that the Humboldt County we know right now won't be the same in 5 years. And now, I don't know which direction it's going to go. Is that going to help us improve greatly? Or is it going to hurt us? I think it's too early to tell, from at least my opinion, from a crime standpoint. But we'll see.
Well, let's play out legalization.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for recreational.
Okay.
Okay. Do you see that your calls for service would go down, or the amount of calls that you guys are on would go down?
I don't see calls going down based on legalization, because, to be very frank, we don't do that much with marijuana right now, other than the occasional hash lab that blows up and takes out a house or here or there. There's plenty of those.
Yeah, I've been heard. I understand you're developing expertise in that area.
BHO labs. Yeah, and but it's interesting how people advertise for it up here. When you see the article about the hash lab exploding, and then the ad next to it is how to run a hash lab, that's always a unique thing to me. So when you take a look at the new laws that have been passed already, they break it into like six different categories. So manufacturing, agriculture, transportation, warehousing, testing, and then retail sales. If you take a look at those areas, you have to kind of figure out what's going to be best for the city or the jurisdiction that has those. You can have two of those at the same time. So, for instance, you can have manufacturing and transportation, but you can't have testing and manufacturing. So it's pretty complicated. But when you take a look at those, you kind of figure out, okay, what's going to be best for the city of Eureka? I don't know. That'll be up to the policymakers to figure that portion out. But at least my experience at this point is that those who are making those decisions or those who are pushing for it are being very open and very receptive to what do we need to make sure that this is a safe way of doing it? So, for instance, man trap doors is one of the things that we will push for.
Is that with an alligator underneath the door?
Exactly. No. Or it's a trap door, you know, and a video surveillance inside, outside, you know, reinforced walls so you can't crash through in a car. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that you can do to enhance that.
You start to ripple it out a little bit and make it applicable. You
know. So I appreciate that at least some folks are trying to be thoughtful about it and make sure it's done the right way.
What do your buddies back in San Diego think about this?
About the what?
Legalization.
You know,
how's it playing at that end of the state?
Yeah, I think it's the same as up here. Most people don't get it from the standpoint that this is the point of origin, the source. They don't realize how big that economy is here. Whereas it's down there, it's a nothing economy. I mean, you know, it's substantial, but it's not, you know, it's certainly not controlling that area. Qualcomm and the others are controlling that area.
Yeah, it's not the rudder on the ship.
Yeah. It's an oar in the water, but that's about it.
It'll be. Have you talked to any of the state law folks or the federal law folks?
Yeah, well, two things. They're two different issues. I sit on the Cal Chiefs board for our region, and we discussed this. You know, most of the other regions are adamantly against any type of legalization. And then the Fed level, the DEA is, it's still a Schedule I drug, regardless of what the state of California thinks or Colorado or Washington. And so, you know, they're not too inclined to say give people a free pass on that. But the U.S. Attorney's Office is the one that has to prosecute it.
With the changes in California law, like you guys are dealing with the Prop 47 stuff, this has got to be in there somewhere. Either the legalization or the growing, or here's what the standard is today, and we're going to relax, we're going to increase, we're going to do. Any whispers in that direction out of the electeds in Sacramento?
You know, I'm not really speaking with them a great deal in this work through our organizations and the elected officials, but I can tell you that you know, Senator McGuire and Senator Woods have really, and Assemblyman Woods have really, you know, worked hard to try to bring order to the chaos, and that I appreciate.
Any success?
Yeah, I think so. I think the bills that they have passed make a lot of sense to me.
Of course, you're a cop.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
KINS News and Information Time. That's MILLS.
Yeah.
It's 8:41. Yeah, we'll be back. There you go.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46, final couple minutes this morning with Andy Mills. Andy, you guys are, I guess, an initiative seems to be my new word that I'm using.
Initiative?
Yeah, you've got a new initiative going on with the, I guess the city is now looking to extend and expand the trail and
yes.
use along the bay.
Yeah.
You guys have got some of the old industrial stuff from back when there was jobs and stuff going on along the bay in that part of the area that are going to get knocked down. And part and parcel of this is you guys are moving the homeless out.
Yes.
Or the squatters. That was I finally made that juxtaposition for myself from camping to squatters. I like squatter. So that's my word for the decade.
Yeah.
It's not going away.
Yeah.
Best case scenario, what happens?
Best case scenario is that people willingly move out on their own and make a solid effort to find housing or allow us to help them find housing. We've already seen a number of people moving out. I was out there Friday. I've been out there almost every day. And a couple parents from a town not too far away came pick up their daughter, loading her stuff in the truck and taking her home. And I've talked to
That's cool.
Yeah. So I think that we're seeing a significant percentage of people who are like, okay, I recognize the city's serious with this, and I'm done. I'm going to go home.
20%? 10%?
Maybe more.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So there's still some opportunity with those.
Yeah. Well, maybe 20%, 30%, with another 20 or 30% to say we're going to leave. Of course, you know.
Still leaves you a core. But
it leaves us core, but if we can whittle that down. We've also seen some people go ahead and take housing who have been resistant to it. And so MIST and Department of Health and Human Services has really done a great job out there. Now, one family left the marsh, and it took the SWAT crew of 10, three police officers and a front loader almost an entire day to clean out that one camp.
You're having to use sworn officers?
Well, they guard the rest of the folks.
Oh, I see. There's security.
Yeah, and they'll pick up some stuff, but you know that's not their job. And yeah, exactly. And you know, and they filled up three 40-yard dumpsters.
One family,
one camp. And there, are, if you look at, there's over 100 camps out there. This is not going to happen overnight. But I think that people are starting to get the picture.
Are you going to be able to knock down the vegetation through that area so it doesn't come back?
Probably not. That more of a coastal commission issue, but we will patrol it. And after we get everybody out, if you camp there one night, you're going to get hooked.
Can you weed whack? At least keep the grass and the weeds.
Yeah, that's
and
up
stuff
to
down?
Park and Rec and all that kind of thing. But I'm sure they are doing some. They've already removed some vegetation.
Worst case scenario.
We were prepared for all kinds of scenarios. And I know that there's some people who truly care about the homeless who want to try to get in the way of this, and that's not going to happen.
You mentioned DHHS. Significant change since the new infusion?
Connie is really making an effort to, Director Beck is making an effort to really do
She's
some
local.
Great
you
things.
Can't
yeah,
do
I
that.
Know, I know. Okay. And she is a wonderful person. And like, for instance, just one of the things that she did is she went out there herself and took a look at what's going on. I walked through the marsh with her. She went out there on the service fair days and noticed that some employees were sitting in the motorhomes waiting for people to come into the motorhome to talk to them. And she got everybody out of the motorhomes and out walking through the marsh themselves. So to me, that is a significant change.
Thanks for coming by.
You bet.
Hopefully it'll be a calm afternoon for you.
Well, you already set that stage.
See you tomorrow morning.